I've been commissioned today to speak to honor our mothers and the women that God has raised up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. Is Mother's Day biblical? Well, yes, and well, no. Not as a day commissioned by God, yet we're commanded to honor father, mother, or as Leviticus 19:3 has it, and it has it with the moms first, each of you must respect his mother and father. I am the Lord your God. Great importance to this, giving respect to our mothers. We have a custom in our worship times together called koinonia. We greet one another. Some outside of Cornerstone questioned this part of our worship and fellowship together, and I took them to the Magna Carta of the Reformation, Paul's letter to the Romans. At the end of the book is a whole chapter with personal greetings, personal koinonia. We must be a community not only of the truth, but also of love. Truth and love go together. You can't have the one without the other. Paul greets some 26 or 27 people by name. This is, I believe, the greatest doctrinal statement of the gospel that has ever been written. Yet, greetings to people whom Paul loved fill the last chapter. One verse fascinates me. It's one verse that just kind of jumps at me because of my own experiences and background, and that's Romans 16:13. We'll look at that, but really the essence of it is the title of our message this morning. She's my mother too. And so as we look at this chapter 16, it's fascinating for Mother's Day. I believe it's one of the most instructive of the New Testament concerning the community of truth and love. But I would like to bring out just three things concerning this, but beginning with this element that God trusts women with ministry. Now, maybe it sounds a little strange, God trusts women with ministry, but if you read with me these words from the first part of the chapter 16 of Romans, we read, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Now, most of the commentaries and the study Bibles recognize Phoebe as the person entrusted with the task of taking this letter to the Roman church. This woman, God trusts to carry the letter that is the doctrinal Magna Carta of the Church of Jesus Christ. Here is the foundational document of the early church, the Reformation of the 16th century, and for the 21st century. Paul's letter to the Romans that shows us the wonder and awe of salvation is of God's amazing grace. Who is this woman who's entrusted? She's our sister, Paul says. By grace, she's one who became a child of God, not by natural descent, as John writes, not by a human decision or a husband's will, but she was born of God, the work of a new birth, of coming to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul says she's a servant in the church in Cenchrea, near Corinth there, a real living local church. She's a servant in that church. She has a very special place. Paul says she is to be trusted. She is to be trusted. Receive her in a way worthy of the saints. Give her any help she needs. Why? For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Now, if you go through this chapter, it's fascinating. As you see the women in this chapter, 9 of the 26 or 27 people that are named are women. And in the culture at that time, certainly they were like the forgotten property in the culture. But here they are in ministry, in service. They're trusted in serving in Christ's church, in serving in the community of God's people. And I think it's significant that God trusted women, saints, sisters in Christ. There's no special gospel for women. As Paul begins this amazing letter, he says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for all who believe, Jews or Greeks, all, men, women, boys and girls, for all who believe. This is the salvation that is the very power of God. Yes, for all. We have women at Cornerstone whom God has entrusted the most amazing gifts. Yes, entrusted the children and families, gifts of professional work that they do, of engineering and medical fields and all kinds of different works. But they have been entrusted by God for that ministry and service. Secondly, this passage is important because I believe it shows us that God calls women to involvement. Verse 3, we have that famous couple. And it's interesting, if you look at verse 3, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." Now, they're the famous couple because it's Priscilla and Aquila. The woman is named first. The wife is named first. They were fellow workers with Paul. They risked their lives for me, he says. The churches are grateful for their involvement. Yes. Then notice verse 6 just simply speaks of Mary, who worked very hard for you. Involvement. Verse 12, there we have that interesting two names, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I just like saying those two names, Tryphena and Tryphosa. It would seem like they were probably sisters, if not maybe twins. And the root background of their names is fascinating, really. One we would probably call today delicate and dainty. Hi, delicate and dainty. Yet, how interesting, delicate and dainty are women, the scripture says, who worked hard in the Lord. You can almost feel something there. Delicate and dainty, women who worked hard in the Lord. Almost a feeling of sweat and toil. Then you have Persis in verse 12 also. He says, "My dear friend," another woman who worked very hard in the Lord. There's involvement with sweat and involvement, real working hard. Verse 13, there we have this fascinating element of Rufus, whose name means red. And I think this is the verse that has been so fascinating to me. Verse 13, notice what it says there. "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." She's my mom too, is what I would grab from that as the title of our message. Now, the Gospel of Mark gives us some background that I believe does tie in, especially to this letter to those there in Rome. A man called Simon, who was the father of Alexander and Rufus, Mark 15:21. We have how, yes, Rufus is chosen of the Lord. All Christians are chosen by God's grace, God's sovereign grace. But Rufus is the son, it would seem like, and most probably anyway, of a man from Africa that carried the cross. Simon of Cyrene, a man from northern Africa that would seem just happened, as men would say, to be there at that place, and he carried the cross for Jesus as he was taken to that hill. Now, some, as they read this, that you have Rufus' mom was his mom, Paul's mom also, that somehow or another, could they be brothers? I don't think so. I believe it was her care and loving involvement with Paul that he says, she's my mom too. There was this special involvement that she had with him that was very real, caring for him, and in one sense, showing him instruction. I have had, during these 40 years, four different moms that I've had the privilege, really, of bearing in the Lord. And Nancy and I have had those moments. One of those four was not our mom by blood. She was our Dutch mom, and she cared for us in very special ways. We have women at Cornerstone that are trusted and involved, that work very hard. Their names, too many to be named. They're not women of complaints and criticisms, but hard work and real involvement, not just for their thing they do, their ministry, but they are those who thank God for Cornerstone, and God's work of grace and goodness is what they're involved in and what they enjoy. We honor you this day, this Mother's Day. And then third, let me just very briefly point you to how God calls women to make a difference. Now, I said that I enjoyed that verse 13. It was fascinating to me. She made a difference, Rufus' mom. She's not even named. And yet, as an unnamed mom, Rufus, I think, is not just saying, being spoken of here as one who has been chosen by God, but that in that sense, he is a choice Christian man. She was one who trained him. And she trained Paul to think that some way, somehow, he was nurtured and instructed as a woman of truth and love. What God did through her and showed to Paul was special. She made a difference. And God calls women to make a difference. Now, this Mother's Day, May the 10th, 2020, there is a call to make a difference to women, to be involved. Yes, I would say study. Study the great books. The great books aren't just for men. No. Priscilla, she helped with instructing Apollos with her husband. Apollos was a learned man, the scripture says, with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. And yet, they explained to him and taught him more fully together, as Acts 18:26 speaks. So study is not just for men. Serious study is not just for them. But you are to make a difference. How? To know God's word and be involved with the Lord's work. So I say to you very directly, elders, deacons, we this day want to honor and respect the mothers, the women of Cornerstone. There are some of you that we can truly say, she's my mother too, the way you care for us, who work very hard, yes, risking their lives, yes, praying and loving and encouraging and teaching in the Lord. And then just a word to children, husbands, dads, men, respect the women of Christ Church. It's a joyful day. May Jesus Christ be praised as we honor the women of Cornerstone. Yes, there is a beauty to saying they are precious and chosen to do a work for God's glory. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.